listening to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
And man, thank you so much. Thank you for ushering us into the presence of the Lord at the beginning of the year. Let's just give them a hand. It's such a privilege to be able to worship the Lord with the band and with you guys. I've been looking forward just to the Sunday and being able to start the year just with all of you. And there are quite a number of people who have come up to Johannesburg for the first time or within the last few weeks or so. I think there are quite a few people from Stellenbosch and Somerset West. Just raise your hands if you're from the Cape. We just want to give you a Gauteng welcome. Welcome, guys. Awesome to have you with us. You're all sitting on the right-hand side, my right. Is there anybody on that side from Stellenbosch or Cape Town or Somerset West that came up now? No one else. Okay, and then there's somebody here from Secunda who's now in Johannesburg. Kobus over there. And then there's somebody from, not George, Gert, where are you? George, yeah, who came back again and just missed us so much and just wanted to share his birthday with us. And so Gert is back. Gert, just come and share. Quickly, we prayed for Gert towards the end of last year. Just the Lord bless him and his wife as they're starting a new life. And just want you to give just a quick summary as to how things are going down there.
Thanks. Yeah, it's difficult to keep things quick, but for you that don't know, I've been in this church for 5 years with my wife, Nancy. We got married at the end of 2011. And I'm qualified as a chiropractor now, and Nancy's qualified as a homeopath. So at the end of last year, we had to ask God where we're going to go to, where we're going to set up practice. We don't have any money. We got married as students, so I mean, you don't have money as a student. So we just asked God, and we were led to George. God said we must go to George. We must just go and settle there. And it all sounded so amazing, but we didn't know why, and we didn't really know what God had in for us there. And we started researching, and we found out that there's a Shofar Church in George, which is quite awesome. Because we were wondering, we've been here for 5 years, we didn't feel like we've done much in this church. We've sort of felt like we've learned a lot, but we haven't done much in this church. So we sort of didn't know what happened. And I mean, God just showed us that our journey just continues in George, and I mean, things are just going to happen for us in George, and what we've learned here, we're going to be using in George. So that's just great. And this in November, end of November, we went down to the farm in the Eastern Cape. I don't know if any of you know where Hofmeyr is in the Eastern Cape. Well, it's pretty close to Hofmeyr. We were there, and God just said to us, we must go to George in December and go and scout the area a bit and see what's happening there. But we didn't have any money to go and scout. We didn't have any petrol to go down there. And obviously, you don't want to ask the parents. We're married now. We can't do anything like that. So the one day, being a farm, I just took out some of my clothes that I wanted to wear on the farm that I haven't worn for 3 years. And a pair of old pants, and I felt in my pockets. There's a roll of 1,000 rand, and that doesn't happen to a student. So, yeah, it's just from God. He must have placed it there. And we had petrol money to go down to George. And we knew it was a scouting mission to go down to George, so we didn't have any expectations of what was going to happen. So we got into the car and drove down to George. And within 2 days, we found a practice. We found for very, very cheap. And we found a house to stay in. We've made contact with the pastor in George. And just, I mean, God's just lowered the mountains and made it into a valley for us. And it's just amazing how God just provides. And just want to encourage all of you that, I mean, if you have this mountain in front of you and God says, go there, and you think, I'm never going to be able to do this, God just does it. And the other thing was, I mean, we coming to the fact that we didn't have any money. To set up a practice as a chiropractor or a homeopath is very, very expensive. It's in excess of 100,000 rand. and we had minus that in student loans. So what God basically did was he just sent people in our families without us even asking anything and just said, listen, you need this money, just take it and go and start up a practice. And we've been able to buy equipment, we've been able to buy medicines for Nancy to start up with. And I mean, we just have it perfectly there, George. It feels like we've fallen with our bums in the butter, but it's really awesome. So just all the glory to God. And if any of you struggle with just that mountain in front of you, just know that God's going to level it and just bring it back. Thanks. And sing happy birthday for me, please.
That is awesome, Gert. Thank you so much. Yeah, you guys didn't do much. Eh? You just pioneered the student ministry at UJ, for which we are eternally thankful. And one of the reasons I just wanted Gert to share that with us, because we've prayed for so many people last year as we were sending people. And I want us just to remember just how powerful that is. And I know sometimes we sort of go through the motions. Oh, there's somebody more to pray for. And we stretch out our hands. But so much of what has happened in Gert and Nancy's life is because of just our prayers. In fact, we've prayed for them. And we're covering them and we're sending them. It's so important how you go and how you come into a place. And when we pray, the Lord goes ahead and the Lord makes the way. And we're so thankful for that, Gert. And we're trusting the Lord that for all of you guys who have moved up to Johannesburg or going to Ermelowe or Standerton, the Lord will do the same for you. And so many new things the Lord has in store for us in 2013. I know that many of us have probably sat down over the holiday and we made some plans and we fasted and we prayed. And hopefully you didn't read the stars, but you saw the Lord's face as to where he wants to go with you in this year. And you have a few goals and things that you've written down. I want to encourage you to continue to do that, to seek the face of the Lord. He does know what this year holds for us. And I spent a few days just not isolating myself. I had Jonathan with me, and we just broke away for a bit just to pray and really seeking the Lord's face as to a few challenges I had in my life that I was really trusting the Lord for breakthrough and trusting God for some definitive answers. And it kept on bringing me back to the specific verse in Scripture, specific chapter. And I walked into intercession this afternoon, and once again, they stole my sermon. I'm getting really tired of this now. It's like every time I get there, like, oh no, God, I thought I was your favorite, but you speak to everybody. I'm there, and I'm praying in the Spirit, and so cool having everybody there, and then somebody opens up their Bible, and they read the entire chapter almost that I'm wanting to preach on. So I'm tremendously encouraged by that, and what I'm wanting to speak to us about tonight is just how you break free from prisons. A few years ago, a friend of mine warned me. He said, there's this series that you really shouldn't watch because it's so addictive. So, nah, I can't be that bad. And out of curiosity, went and took the first disc with 4 episodes on. And then we thought, let's just see what the next one is like the same day. And there was a Friday evening, I think, and the Saturday we sort of worked through 3 more, and yeah, it was just crazy. Just finished a few seasons of Prison Break until eventually you felt, I need to break free from this prison of Prison Break now. This is just like pathetic, you know. I can't start dreaming about these people and thinking about them and just like getting angry with them, and you know, just wrong. But you know, whether it's me with my Prison Break addiction or any one of us with an eating thing or fear thing or anger thing or whatever it is, every so often in our lives, we get to the place where we need to just break free. And a new year gives us a wonderful opportunity to actually to do that, because it fills you with a sense of excitement. It fills you with a sense of the newness of life, that you have another opportunity to have a crack at this. You have another opportunity to break through some of your limitations and some of the things that maybe want to hold you back. But if you're anything like me, then you also know that sometimes those walls are a little bit thicker than you think. And a few of us have the bruises and the bumps and the scars to show for our efforts as to how we've tried to break through those things in the past. And I think one of the greatest challenges for us is at the beginning of a year is to look at your goals and to look at your expectations and at your hope, and not to have that nagging suspicion at the back of your mind that this is inevitably going to remain my prison. This is inevitably maybe going to be like the rabbit's trail. I'm going to run myself silly and crazy and tired, but at the end of the day, I'm no closer to being free than at the beginning of the year. And I believe that as the word came through Sunet tonight, the Lord specifically wants to drop something in our spirit that is going to elevate us beyond the natural tendencies we have to start afresh. You know, a new year gives you, there's this natural vibe in the air. Everybody's going to gym and everybody is buying new things and new budgeting plans and the latest gadgets and things to try and improve their lives. And that is natural. The whole world does that. But I believe God wants to take us beyond the fact of just having a natural inclination and a natural desire to improve our lives. Because Christianity is not so much about self-improvement. It's not about making us better as it is about making us into what God has in store for us. And God's plans and God's thoughts is obviously so much greater than our thoughts. And I'm wanting us to, if you have your Bibles here, or you just want to follow with me on the screen, I want you to go to Isaiah 54, and this is the chapter that one of the intercessors read. And I shouldn't have been surprised, but I still was surprised again. And it's from the English Standard Version, and it says, "Sing, O barren one, ye who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, ye who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Verse 3, "For you will spread abroad to the left and to the right, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife, deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. And Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, realizing that it is only your word that has the power to change us, God. It's only your word that has the power to truly transform us. And we yield ourselves, Lord, to the authority of your word. And we yield ourselves, God, to the illumination of your spirit. God, we understand that tonight, even as we are coming to you, Lord, with so many expectations and so many desires, but also, Lord, for many of us with such a lot of anxiety, God, that we need you to unveil our eyes. We need you, Lord, as you promise in your word, to fill us with a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that our eyes can be filled with light, so we can have enlightened eyes of our understanding, to grow in the intimate knowledge of you and to understand what is your the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. And Father, I pray that tonight you will break through every resistance, every lie, every scheme of the wicked one that wants to keep us bound in the past and wants to keep us limited in our expectations of you. God, we surrender to you completely tonight, and we thank you for the lives that you're already busy changing in Jesus' name. The first key I believe that the Lord is just wanting to share with us, laid on my heart to share with you, is found in the first verse, and it's found in the first word of the first verse. And that is, with all your goals and with all your plans and with all the things that you've put in place for this year, that there is a crucial and integral part of the strategy that the Lord is wanting to give us. And that is our ability to sing, our ability to praise God, our ability to rise above our circumstances through what lies in our mouths. And the Lord comes through the prophet Isaiah, and he speaks to a people who have been decimated, a people who have been in exile and destroyed and betrayed by their own kings and by foreign kings. And he comes to them and he says to them, "Sing, O barren one." And it's like a weird thing to say to somebody who's barren and unfruitful, because the greatest shame you could have upon yourself back in those days was the fact that you are not able to conceive, you're not able to produce. You're supposed to be able to produce. You're married, husband and wife, they're there, and everybody looks to you to further the family line. Everybody looks to you to bring forth more children, and yet you can't. And you live with that shame, you live with that sense of failure. It's not so much in what you do, but it's in who you are. Because you are a failure as a father. You are a failure as a mother. It's not something you can separate yourself from and just say, "Oh, but that is just something that I'm doing." No, it's integral to who you are. And so here the prophet Isaiah comes and he's speaking to a people who aren't just failing in what they are doing, but failing in who they're supposed to be. At the core of their beings, they know we're supposed to be fruitful. They know we're supposed to be multiplying. The first great commandment is to go forth and to multiply. And by the way, just the reason why this word is so precious to me right now is because over the last 2 months or so, we've had three couples who've fallen pregnant supernaturally. The doctor said it's impossible. You will not be able to fall pregnant. Three of them. The Lord came through prayer and just through the love of God, and He's done the miracle. And I believe that that is precious. But I also believe that is symbolic and prophetic as to what the Lord is wanting to say to us. For all of us as a group of believers together, but also for us individuals. That He is wanting to break something over our lives. He's wanting to break a nagging suspicion that we have as to what God's heart is towards us. And at the beginning of this year, He just wants to establish this. But in order for us to do that, in order for us to get to the place where God's promises can come into fulfillment in our lives, there's this element of faith involved. There's this element where, in a sense, we have to prepare our wounds for Him. In a sense, we have to prepare our hearts. We have to sing. And it says, some of the other translations say, rejoice. And part of the rejoicing is to sing, is to declare, is to take the word of God and to sing that over your life. What we're going to do just now is to sing again, just about the goodness of God. But He's saying here, sing, O barren one. And what's amazing about this is the fact that God is speaking right into the very area of these people's shame. And He's saying to them, don't wait till conception has taken place. Don't wait until you have experienced the breakthrough. Sing when you have all the answers and sing when you don't have any answers. Sing when you understand everything and sing when nothing makes sense. Sing when you have perfect self-control and sing when your anger has gotten the best of you. Sing when you have victory and sing when you have failure. Sing when you feel strong and sing when you feel weak. Sing when you feel on top of the world and sing when you feel like roadkill. Sing. There's something powerful that happens that when we sing, when we worship God, we elevate ourselves to the place where God has always intended for us to live. God has created us to be worshipers. He has created us to praise Him. And when you do that, you break free from the shame and the failure and the things that the enemy is wanting to put on your life. You know what? I'm always so encouraged by this fact that I can do something the devil never, 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 ever can do again. It's to worship God. It's to praise God. It's to lift up my voice to Him and to exalt Him and say, God, You are magnificent and You are awesome. And you know, sometimes you go through a time, you don't have any songs in your mind. Go to the Psalms. Take the Psalms and sing them over your life. I'm going to agree with Lorraine. Some of us, we've lost some of the promises of God. Go back to the Word. Read through them again and sing them over your life. Sing them over your life and declare what the Lord is saying over you. And His promise comes to people and He's saying to them, listen, you are more than the barrenness in your life. You are more than this area in your life where you are not experiencing the breakthrough. Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. And I was thinking about this breaking forth. And I sort of had the image of the Incredible Hulk in my mind. You know, you've seen the Incredible Hulk 1 or 2 or 3, I don't know how many versions there are of the movie. But if you have seen Hulk, you know that when the Hulk breaks through, he breaks through and there's just like bricks flying everywhere and it's chaos. And doesn't matter who tries to like keep him back, there is this thing that rises up inside of him. His eyes bulge out, his clothes get ripped to shreds and it just like rises up inside of him and he becomes this green monster. Okay, he breaks forth. And that is the image I had in my mind about what it means to break forth. There are times in our lives, and I believe that for some of us in 2012, you've come to this place where you know that unless something changes dramatically within the next week or 2 weeks in 2013, you're probably not going to make it, in a sense. And there's an agitation in your spirit. There's a dissatisfaction with the status quo. There's a sense that things need to change. And I believe that what God is speaking about here is saying you have got to take the power of praise and worship and you've got to break forth. You've got to break out of the prison of whatever it is that is trying to hold you back. But you've got to stir your spirit. You've got to say, God, I am going to hold on to you. And I'm going to sing. I'm going to declare your praises. I'm going to turn the volume up. I'm going to put my earphones in. And I'm going to let rip. And if you don't have a place at your house where you can do that, you get into your car and you just go ballistic. And you shout and you scream, but you've got to break forth. There's a powerful principle Jesus taught, and that is that the kingdom of God comes into our lives, but it comes with violence. It says violent men take hold of the kingdom of God. Violence in the sense of being almost like, I'm not going to rest until I have what God has promised me. I'm not going to sit back and wait for the pastor to give me the blessing. I'm not going to sit back for my boss to like me finally. I'm not going to sit back and wait for all the memories to disappear. But I'm going to take a hold of God's promise. And I'm going to sing myself out of my barrenness into the place that God has for me. He says, I'm not seeing you as the barren, God says. And I want you to think about whatever label people have placed on you. Whatever label it is that you've grown up with. Whatever label it is that your disappointments and your failures or people's opinions have put upon you. I'm now in the year where we're going to celebrate my 20th year reunion at school. And I was thinking about that a little bit. I was thinking, you know, about the labels. You know, the stuff that people say over you when you're at school. And I was thinking about how many of those things the Lord just had to come and the Lord had to deliver me from them. And it will be so amazing to actually meet up with those people again. And the one label that I'm proud of, they always said that they called me Pastor T. You know, my dad was a pastor and I didn't want to be a pastor, not at all. But they kept on calling me Pastor T, you know, amongst other things. And you know, that thing grew on me and they actually prophesied over my life. A whole bunch of other things that I say, no way, that's not me, and I don't accept that. I remember years ago when I was a chocolate key, almost made a terrible accident with a bike, and the car that almost drove into me, you know, the guy rolled down the window and he just let rip with so many curses over my destiny and over my identity and over my race and all of those things. And I had to get into the presence of God consistently, not just once, but consistently to have his presence wash over me and cleanse me from that prison that somebody's opinion wanted to build about me. But I'm going to get there, the 20th year reunion. And they're going to ask me, are you still so fanatic about Jesus? I said, no, I'm more so, man. I'm even more fanatic than I was 20 years, 25 years ago. Jesus remained faithful throughout it all. Remain faithful to his word. And I can't wait to just meet up with her. I go to Facebook and I see some of the guys and, you know, the guys who had it all and all the girls. And my heart goes out to them, you know, beer bellies later. And it's just like, I'm like, you're still cursing the way that you cursed back then. You know, and on Facebook, it's still the same jokes. And my heart goes out and I'm like, where's the fulfillment? Where's the growth? You know, where's the sense of identity? But you know, unless you make a quality decision, whether it's oh barren one, or oh thick one, or oh stupid one, or oh foolish one, or oh slow one, or oh tiny one, or whatever it is, unless you decide that I'm not my label, I'm not the label that my boss puts on me, I'm not the label that the city puts on me, I'm not the label that anybody puts on me, I am a worshiper. That is per definition what defines me. And for us, as we go into 2013, I'm reminded of Jehoshaphat sending the Levites, sending the band in front of the army as he goes to make war. And we've got a powerful anointing in this city to take the good news of Jesus Christ. I had to explain to my kids the other day, what is the gospel? Now, why do we have different books in the Bible? And what is the gospel? And it was so liberating just to get to the place again of saying to them, the gospel literally means good news. The good news. And then having to think about, but why is Jesus good news? And so your understanding of why Jesus is good news will determine your confidence. If you don't really believe Jesus is good news, then you won't really tell anybody about him. But if he is the good news to you, like the good news that somebody in the desert gets when he gets a glass of water, and there are a few other guys also dying out in the desert and they don't know about where the water is, then it changes things a little bit. And our bands and our anointing to worship God is a crucial aspect, an element as to what God has called us to do in the city. So there are a few of us sitting here with musical talents, and you need to pray and trust God and say to God, God, what must I do with this? Maybe I must tell you what you must do with it. You must come and join the band. Okay? If you don't join the band here, then at least in your small group sing. Right? Start writing your songs. Start bringing the cello and the whatever, the flute and all the different things and the treklavier and all of those stuff. Bring it so that God can use it. And God is going to take us different places in the city and in this region. Going to Standerton, where you guys are going, one of you, just on Sunday. And I want to ask a bunch of you, if you want to go along with me. We want to praise the Lord over there. Lift up his name. But there's so much that I realize that God is wanting to do in our lives. But he's wanting to send ahead of you into 2013. He's wanting to send his goodness ahead of you. He's wanting to send his joy ahead of you. And I always see praise and worship a little bit like a javelin thrower. You know, you can take that javelin and you can throw it. And that javelin gets to the end destination before you get there. And that praise and worship is your ability to take the word of God and take the provision of God. And you just thrust it forth out of your spirit. And so when you get to that month and you get to that situation, you've already praised your way into the goodness of God. You've already opened up the door for God to move powerfully in your behalf. So where in your life do you feel a little bit barren? And by the way, barrenness is not always the result of your sin. Sometimes you're just born into a situation where there are a lot of things that have gone wrong in terms of your spiritual DNA, in terms of your physical DNA. At one stage, the disciples asked Jesus, this guy blind, whatever was wrong with him because of his sin or sin of his parents or whatever. And Jesus said, listen, there are some things that come out quickly and there are some things that come out through fasting and prayer. Some breakthroughs come just like that. And some breakthroughs you need to walk it out. You need to be persistent. And there's some of us that we've been trusting God for fruitfulness in certain areas of our lives that are still barren. And I believe the breakthrough is around the corner. It's closer to you than what you think. But Christianity is still a walk of faith. And it will forever be a walk of faith. And one of the greatest ways in which we manifest our faith is by singing. Singing forth what God is saying about you. So I want you just to take a minute and close your eyes. And I want you to think about an area in your life where you feel barren. An area in your life where, in comparison with the promises of God, maybe there's breakthrough, maybe there's life, maybe there's a bit of greenery. But in comparison with the promise of God, what you see in Scripture, what you've heard people say, and maybe even what God has shown you, this just feels barren. And I want you to just think about that, just for a few seconds. An area in your life, and by the way, God isn't ashamed of that area. He isn't afraid to put his finger on it. He isn't afraid to walk into it. He has made provision for it. And just as we close our eyes, I pray, Father, that you would just show us now the area. There's somebody here and you're feeling completely overwhelmed. You're feeling like there are 5 or 6 major areas in your life where you're not experiencing any victory, any breakthrough. In actual fact, you just said to the Lord, you feel like this little rubber ball that's being hit to and fro between the devil and your circumstances and your sin. And you're just all over the place and you already have like 2 or 3 migraines you got this week. And you don't even know where to begin to try and solve all the problems. And there's a specific assignment of confusion against you that the Lord is wanting to just break over your life tonight to give you clarity, because there's only one specific thing that he's wanting you to focus on, not all of these things. So Father, I come and I just break the power. I just want to see, where are you? You're struggling with, like, just close your eyes. You're struggling with like intense headaches and you're stressed out of your skin and the year's barely begun. I just want to pray for you specifically. If you can just raise your hand. Just raise your right hand quickly. So I just want to pray for you. Thank you. See then, Father, I thank you, God, for the new thing, God, that you are doing and you're ushering my sister into, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your anointing present in this room, Lord, to destroy the yokes of bondage. Not just to, God, come and soothe it, not just, Lord, to give temporal relief like some band-aid or some pill we take, but to destroy it completely. So we come against this generational assignment, Lord God, of oppressive anxiety in the name of Jesus and stress that prevents her from seeing, Lord, your breakthrough, of seeing your covenant that you have made with her. And I thank you, Father God, for lifting her up in the spirit right now. I just see the Lord like this massive hand lifting you up and he's taking you just above the mountain, just so your head can just peek over the mountaintop. So you can see the valley that's ahead of you, the valley of rest, the the valley of quiet, the valley of peace that it has for you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, just for your peace right now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, that you manifest yourself to her as a Prince of Peace in a very specific way, even right now, God. That all the migraines and all the headaches and all the muscle tension, all of that goes away now in Jesus' name. We thank you that body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, a dwelling place for you in Jesus' name, Father. And I want you just to, just that one or two things that the Lord has reminded you of right now. I just want you to take that in your hand, all of us, the area in your life where you, you just feel there's a barrenness and there's sort of a, this thing sort of, maybe doesn't overwhelm you completely or maybe it does, but it's just like you feel like this thing has been boxing me in. It's like somebody here, you feel like you're trapped in this furuki boxy. There was this kiddie style years ago, but this guy in a furuki, like a match box. I don't remember the name of the thing, but you feel like you're like in this match box and from time to time somebody opens up the box and you can see the light, but then closes it down again and you're like trapped and you know that you're much bigger than this, much bigger than what your life that feels so claustrophobic right now is in. And yeah, I just see you as like you, the Lord is taking you out of that matchbox and he's putting you into like this massive bed that's like elevated and there's a storm raging underneath you, but you're on this big double bed on these massive pillars and you're sleeping peaceful. And you're above the storm. It's still raging. There's thunder and there's lightning and all sorts of tornadoes raging underneath you. But the Lord is just lifting you up and he's saying to you that you're gonna sleep. He's blessing you even tonight just with a deep sense of rest and quiet and peace in him. And Father, I thank you for every just barrenness. If you can just take that in your hand and just lift it up before the Lord, each one of us. Just, Lord God, just the area of barrenness in our lives that's wanting to rage, God, against the knowledge of your goodness. That is wanting to steal our faith and it's wanting, Lord God, to keep us in a place of small thinking and wanting to intimidate us. God, I thank you that collectively, God, just as a congregation and as individuals and as families, Lord, that we can say to you that we will not allow the spirit and the anointing of praise and worship to be stolen from us. We receive it, God, anew and afresh as a congregation and as individuals as part of our birthright. God, to sing and to declare forth your praises. We thank you for the songs that you have already birthed in this congregation and the many songs that will be birthed, Father, in the weeks to come. We thank you for the evangelistic outreaches, Lord God, that will go forth from this place, Lord, and that the bands will be at the forefront of that. We thank you, Lord God, for the yokes of bondages that will be destroyed, even as you are raising up, Father God, people to worship you in spirit and in truth, whether they're in the band or whether they're in their cars, Lord, that our praise and worship will not just be a song we sing, but it will be our lifestyle, Father, in Jesus' name. And we make that commitment, Lord God, to sing and to rejoice even before the conception takes place, even before the birth takes place, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says God. And God comes and as he always does, he speaks his word of faith into such a terrible situation. Desolate. It means deserted. Yeah? I don't know how many of you have seen those towns along the west coast of Namibia, just overrun by the dunes. You see these little farmhouses next to our roads as you're driving. The roofs are off and everything has been stolen. And I always think about, you know, the life that existed there once. The kids that played there once. The dreams that were dreamt there once. But now there's nothing. Now it's been overrun by either the desert or by some other vegetation. It's desolate. It wasn't created to be desolate. It was created to be lived in, to be enjoyed. But now it's desolate. Forgotten, written off, ignored, buried. And God says he's speaking to those areas in our lives. Either we've written off or other people have written off. We have forgotten. Maybe just a vague reminder. God says, I'm speaking to those areas. And I'm saying to you that out of that area of your life, out of that specific weakness, that specific anxiety, that specific attack on your identity, out of that area will come forth greater fruit than your natural strengths. Out of that area lies greater power than the things that naturally cause you to feel confident. Out of that area in your life where you feel the weakest and the most challenged lies the greatest seed for God's power to manifest. a friend of mine was praying for me, gave me a word on Friday, and he said he was praying for me and he saw this grave. And I know what he was talking about. I'm like, I do not want to hear about a grave. I do not want to hear right now about more dying. But this in our hearts, and I shared this with some of the leaders as well, we are such a resourceful congregation in a sense of our natural gifts and our natural talents that the Lord has given us. Things that He has placed inside of us. Things that belong to Him. Things that He has invested in us so we can change the world. Things that He has redeemed inside of us, and He wants us to use it to the glory of His name. Our qualifications and our lateral thinking and our ability to plan and to manage many different things. We constitute a very minute percentage of this country's population. Minute percentage of the world's population. Very resourceful in the natural. And as great a strength as it is also potentially one of our greatest weaknesses. And I believe that the Lord wants us to periodically, and at a time at the beginning of a year like this is a good time, to say to God, God, that we will not find our glory and we will not find our confidence in those things. We will not base our decisions on those things. We will base our decisions and our hope and our desire to invite people into our lives, not upon the magnificence of the venue, the beauty of the songs, the deliciousness of the cake. But we will base it upon our dependence upon your Spirit to manifest. We will base it upon the power of your Spirit to change our lives. And because you've changed our lives, we can have confidence that you will change the lives of other people that we invite into our circle of influence. And I believe that it's a commitment that God is taking seriously. And that He will come and visit us in ways that we can barely imagine. That here in these meetings, in our small group meetings, in our coffee dates, in our exterior races, when we do all those different things, we come together. If we have an expectation that God will pitch, then He will pitch. And He will come and do through us and in us so much more than we can ask for or imagine. And I've got this incredible expectation for this year. That the Holy Spirit will come and do for us what we've been trusting Him for years. One of the things that generation like Gert and Nancy and guys who've been here for years have done was that they've prayed even when barrenness seemed to confront them all the time. They've stood in faith even when things didn't seem to change the way they should have changed. And I believe that the time has come where we're going to reap the results of those prayers. And the Lord has prepared for us a table of vindication. And so He's saying to you, I'm not seeing you as barren and I'm not seeing you as desolate. I'm saying to you that I've got awesome things in store for you. It's one thing seeing the promise though. And this is the amazing thing about Scripture. God gives the promise. He says, I want you, first key, I want you to sing. I want you to rejoice. I want you to worship. Because I've got great things in store for you, beyond what you can conceptualize even, He says. But I just don't want it to remain on the level of just a religious spiritual experience. He says, if you take me seriously, then there are practical steps that you need to take to show that you take me seriously. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. And this is before the kids get born, figuratively speaking. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. The King James says, spare not. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Speaking to South Africans, we need to say that it's stakes as in poles. You get into the ground and not just buy bigger stakes and strengthen yourself through them. It's not a bad idea. But I think in this context here, he's speaking a little bit more about the place in which you dwell, your house. And when God speaks to us, obviously, He's not so much speaking about this physical space, even though He's speaking about the physical space. So in terms just of a physical space, we are continuing to pray and trusting God that He will lead us to a place where we'll be able to have morning services soon. Trusting before the next month is over. That we'll be able to move to a place where we can have our morning services and we can have things in place so we can be the intergenerational church God wants us to be. Where the little ones and the families and the teenagers and everybody can feel welcome. We can do that. It's an opportunity for us to invest and to get into a community and get involved in a community. And we will share some more info as we go along. But I'm taking God seriously when He says that He's got families that Malachi's promise that in these last days he will turn the hearts of the fathers towards the sons, the hearts of the sons towards the fathers. It means that he's wanting to restore families. He's wanting to bring in families, and he's wanting to do miracles in families. And he's wanting young people to get married and have kids, and the men to buy houses and plan ahead for their wives and their children. And he wants the single people to dress differently and think differently and prepare themselves. And maybe not buy the newest car, but buy a second-hand one so you can take the money and invest it in an apartment. But you've got to do something practical if you believe that God has something in store for you. You've got to enlarge the place of your tent if you believe that your children are on their way. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where things get difficult. This is where it's not a question of just singing nice songs. The songs stir your faith. The songs give you perspective. The songs elevate you above what you can see through natural eyes. But unless you take a step of faith, the song just remains a song. The experience just remains the goosebump experience. And Monday is still Monday in all its finality and all its challenges. And so for us as a church, physically we trust in the Lord to move us, to enlarge our place so we can welcome in the masses God has for us. But I wonder for us as individuals, when God speaks about your tent and he speaks about your dwelling place, I believe primarily he's speaking about your heart. Our bodies, our spirits, our hearts. It's the temple and the tent and the dwelling place of God, the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. That place where you feel safe, that inner place, that safe place. What do you need to do in order to enlarge your heart this year? What do you need to do to lengthen your cords, to strengthen your stakes? What do you need to do to enlarge your capacity? Because guess what? When the children come in, it gets messy all of a sudden, very quickly. I remember before we, love the way men say that, before we fell pregnant with our last little one. We had a conversation late at night. I was lying in my bed and talking about just having another kid or not. I'm like, I do not have the capacity. I honestly cannot see. I cannot even begin to fathom where I can get another hour or two out of the day to have another little being walk around and demand my attention. And what's amazing is how the grace of God operates. That as the kids come, the grace enables and empowers you. Enables you to do things that you never thought you could do. Enables you to get away with less sleep than you could ever get away with. Pray for my snoring, please. I'm giving my wife even less sleep than she deserves. But there's something amazing that happens when you take a step in faith and you welcome what God wants to do in your life. It stretches your heart. The King James Version says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your dwellings. There's the seed in there that from time to time you've got to allow what God brings into your life to stretch you and stretch you and stretch you and stretch you. And I realize that irrespective of whether we meet in a conference center like this, irrespective of whether we meet in next to a tree, irrespective of whether you meet in a small house or on top of a building or underground, the catacombs like the early believers had to do while they were fleeing for their lives. Irrespective of whether you're in a church of 20 people or 20,000 people, what you're going to receive out of that and the blessing you're going to receive out of that depends on your heart. It's amazing how people say, no, small is better, or big is better, or this type of building is better than that. And it's got very little to do with that. It's got to do with our ability to make people feel welcome. It's got to do with our ability from the heart welcome people home. From the heart say, you are accepted and you are celebrated. I'm sure you've had the experience as well that you would walk into a mansion and it strikes you from the outside, its grandeur and just how incredible things are. You walk into that house and it's just cold. It's just walls. It's just tiles. Everything is there, but there's a coldness about it. And you could walk into the simplest of places and you never want to leave. So there's warmth. there's this acceptance. You feel just, oh, I'm going to be okay here. Because somebody has enlarged their heart. Somebody has made room for you to come in there, to walk in and feel welcome. And I believe one of the most important ways for us to do that is obviously to pray. When you pray for others, something happens to your heart. Something happens to your capacity. You start looking differently at people. You start thinking about them differently as you pray the word of God over them and you intercede for them. And so the weekend of the 24th, 25th of January, okay, not February as we said, January, there's going to be one such weekend where we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for other churches in the nation and all across the world, and we're going to pray for us. We're going to pray, and I'm trusting the Lord that He's going to. Can one still use Lance Armstrong as an example? Can you? Who had the massive heart, the big heart? Was it him or the other guy, Lamont? Who was the guy who had this? His resting heart rate was something ridiculous. What was it? Miguel Indurain. Like this, he had this strong heart that would beat, what was it, 50 or 40 beats a minute, something? Something ridiculous like that. A heart that was so strong that it took him less effort to do what other people would literally almost faint trying to do. And I believe that when the Lord says enlarge the place of your tent, He's not talking about striving more. He's not talking about putting in more effort. He's talking about allowing Him to strengthen your heart, to come and through His Spirit breathe into your heart so you have a Holy Ghost-enabled capacity to deal with the challenges that come your way. So that with less effort, you can get more done. With less striving, more blood can be pumped to the different areas of the body that needs it. There's some parts in this body that needs the blood to get through it, and the blood can only get there once other parts decide, I'm going to strengthen the heart. I'm going to be there. I'm going to step up, and I'm going to help the blood being pumped to those areas. And so I want to make this appeal to us as we sing our way into 2013. To join us in the Sunday mornings before service as we pray. We're going to pray from 3 till 3:45, more or less. Join us. If you can't make it every Sunday, try and make it every second Sunday or third Sunday as the Lord gives you the grace to do. And then at weekend, as we send you more details as to where we're going to get together, join us, please, as we're going to seek and trust the Lord to do things. It's amazing just how the Lord is continuing to just speak to us in intercession. I was so amazed again just standing there, as I told you. How specifically the Lord came and said, this is what He's wanting to do. He's saying, end to barrenness. I said, somebody eavesdropped and they told these guys what I was going to preach on. And the Holy Spirit did. Because He wanted to say that across the board to all of us. Less striving and more fruit. And I know it's a challenging word in the sense of many of us trying so hard, but I believe the Lord is going to take us to the next level. I'm going to end off with these two verses. The Lord says, He will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring, do not hold back. In James' version says, spare not. Oh, this is a tough one for those of us who did not hold back and didn't get the results that we wanted to. But I believe God is saying, hey, if you gave last year, give more. If you prayed last year, just not in the sense of literal time maybe, but just in your focus. And saying, God, I'm not going to accept defeat in this area of my life. I'm not. I'm going to welcome the blood of Jesus in again. I'm going to love again. I'm going to forgive again. I'm going to trust again. And I'm so encouraged by the fact this is what Jesus did. Jesus will never ask us to do anything that He did not do. When He walked up the cross, or up the hill with the cross, He knew that He was going to hang there and most of His friends would have deserted Him. And yet He chose to give everything. He knew how many of us would reject Him. And yet He gave everything. And so when He says, spare not, when He says, do not hold back, He's saying it knowing full well that in your own strength we can't do it. But He wants to come alongside you. And He wants to enable you to do it. He wants to enable you to give everything. Philip from Pretoria and Sias from Stellenbosch and a few other guys, Carlos from Worcester, so went to Pakistan. And while they were still there, send a picture of a few of them standing there with what looked like very real pistols. These Pakistan guys around them. And they said, don't spread the photo yet. Say, ah, what are they up to again? And so he got the news yesterday that, I think that was on Tuesday, they arrived back yesterday, but the day before that, they literally had to run for their lives. Like people being shot all around them. And that's the reality as to how the church in Pakistan lives. And when you live with that reality that this might be the last day I see my loved ones, guess what? You do not hold back in your love. You do not hold back in your forgiveness. You do not hold back in your affirmation. This might be the last day that I'm able to tell somebody about Jesus. There's less of a holding back. And I believe God is saying to us, listen, don't hold back. Be bold. Trust me that I will do what I've promised to do for you. And there's some of us here specifically that I believe the Lord is just wanting to heal. Your hand got hurt badly, just giving. You feel like so you've stuck out your hand to help somebody and this Rottweiler just grabbed hold of your hand, mauled your hand. And so you have this desire to give, but you actually feel physically incapacitated to give. You want to give. You feel so condemned every time there's a word on the offering and you're like, oh, no. I'm asked to do something I can't do. I want to do, but I just can't break free from it. And I believe the Lord is wanting to heal your hand specifically. So can we pray? Let's close our eyes. And right now you're like experiencing physical pain in your left hand. And I want to pray for you because the Lord has got a great calling upon your life to prosper you and to release you, really to use you powerfully. So where are you? I just want to pray for you. It's a great calling upon your life to give in the area of finances and really to prosper you, but you also challenged in your finances if there isn't a breakthrough. And I just want to pray for you. So just raise your hand so I can see where you are. Just trust the Lord to break the thing over your life. Are you here? Okay, but Father, I pray, God, if a person is here, God, or maybe just not bold enough, God, to raise the hand right now, Father, that you would, Lord, just bless us as a congregation. Father, with the ability, God, to just give boldly, Father. And Lord, without holding back. God, I come against the fear of lack. I specifically feel it's a spiritual thing, and what it's called a spirit of poverty. Okay, you're not living in physical poverty, but it's a spirit that's upon you and it manifests like every second generation in your family. Somebody tries something and then there's this massive disaster. It's a massive disaster. Then it takes about another generation to build things up and people work very as if the dad has to compensate for the mistakes of the grandfather. And then the son tries again something and the dad is successful. The son tries again and thing fails and then his son has to try and resurrect it again. So there isn't a continuation. There isn't a building. And yet there's so much the Lord has invested in your bloodline. But if you look back, you just see that there hasn't been momentum. Something starts, someone builds something, the next generation breaks it down. And it has caused massive rifts. And even this past holiday, there's a lot of tension when you went home between the families around this. Wastage, it seems, of resources. And the Lord is saying that he's starting a new thing in your bloodline. And he's going to restore and going to establish something very powerful in your life to release other people, your physical sons, to release them into prosperity, but also spiritual sons around you too. You will recognize the spirit of poverty upon someone. You'll not be intimidated by what they drive or their fancy talk. You will recognize and the Lord will enable you through very real discipleship with them to break the thing over their lives. So I want to pray for you. The Lord just releases it over your life. So you can just raise your hand. I can see where you are. Just pray for you. Thank you. And drop your hand again. There's one more person. Two people. Okay. Lord bless you. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. I'm not prophesying. Specifically, I'm just praying the Spirit to strengthen my heart and just to hear from the Lord what he's wanting to say. Father, I thank you for my brother, God, specifically as well as my sisters, God, and I thank you for what you're doing in their lives, and Lord, for how you're establishing them and for the victories that they have achieved. And I thank you, God, you're going to take them to the next level of just being able, Lord God, to completely break free, God, to walk not with one foot in Egypt and one foot in the promised land, but completely present in the promised land, completely able to conquer the giants. but you have called them to conquer, God. And specifically, Father, I thank you and I can just speak a blessing over my sisters, God, to just we can rebuke the fear of lack over them. God, the fear that men will come one day and will ruin what they've built up, God. Thank you, Lord, that the husbands, God, that you give them will be husbands worthy, Father, of honor and respect, and will be able to come alongside them, God, and strengthen further what you've placed in their hands, God. And they will not feel intimidated by that, but will actually welcome them as great gifts out of your hand. Father, I pray for my brother specifically, God, and I thank you. I just see, Lord God, it's like these wild dogs chasing him in his dreams. And I thank you, God, that you break the power of the past over him. Just those generational demonic forces that want to destroy things that he puts his hand to, and there's been great success in his life. But it's as if there's a sense that I can't afford to relax. I can't afford to just exhale because I have to keep everything, keep it together. But I thank you, Lord God, for a great release. And as he's been so faithful to give and to bless others, thank you, Lord God, that the seed that he has sown over the years, Lord God, are coming back to him, Father, in this year, and will just bless him and his family, God, just completely out of his socks. And I thank you for the calling upon his life as an older brother, Lord, to raise up younger ones and to mentor them and to release them, Father God, through a word of faith, not through much time, but I specifically feel through a word of faith that will release them into their destinies in Jesus' name. He will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. And the last verse I want to focus on, fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. And I believe that tonight the Lord supernaturally wants to bring a freedom and wants to bring a deliverance from and away from the power of shame that has been just hounding quite a few of us. Certain memories, you think back on those memories, you remember the memory, but there's no shame. Other memories, you have the memory and you have the shame. That sense of illegitimacy, that sense of, I can never allow anybody into that area. I can never allow anybody to see that. And the Lord is wanting to deliver you from that tonight. He says, do not be afraid. You will not be ashamed. Fear not. Fear and shame go hand in hand. And we fear being left alone. We fear being forgotten by the gate of the school. We fear promise being made to us that somebody will come and get us and nobody comes. We fear having to rely upon ourselves. The Lord is saying, do not be afraid. You will not be ashamed. I love what Scripture says about Jesus. It says that Jesus, even though dying on a cross was the most shameful thing that could happen to a person, it says that he despised the shame. It's almost as if he turned shame around on itself. He despised it. And when you despise something, you don't allow it to get close to you. You don't allow it to touch you at all. And I believe that Jesus wants to come and strengthen hearts here tonight. He wants to come and establish your armor to such an extent that the same resilience he had, that irrespective of what people are saying, irrespective that they're taunting him and mocking him and beating him and spitting in his face and saying to him that if you were the Son of God, you could come down, prove yourself. None of those things moved him. What established him, what rooted him, was what his Father was saying about him. And I know for a fact that Father God tonight is the one who set hearts free. He's the one to deliver you once and for all from the prison of shame. That is wanting to push you and drive you and get you to do things you would never do. Simply to feel accepted. Simply to feel welcome. Simply to feel valuable and important. And God says that he is going to remove, surgically tonight, remove from you. You're going to have the memory. You're not going to have the shame. You're going to have the memory. You're not going to have the shame. And Paul says that the way that we get rid of fear is not by fighting the fear, but by embracing the love. Perfect love drives out all fear. And he who fears has not yet been perfected in love. And I know in my heart, there are areas in my heart where I'm saying, Jesus, I just need a tsunami of your love here. I need a tsunami of your love. I need you to overwhelm me with your love. Yeah. Come and heal my heart. Touch me. Enlarge my heart. And so, Isaiah 54, I'm going to spend a few weeks on it. It's such a beautiful passage. It's completely unrealistic thinking I could get through all of it. Why do I do that? I didn't promise you I was going to read through the whole chapter, did I, tonight? So I want us to stand. I just want to leave this with us as we go into 2030. The band is... No, don't come yet, band. So I want to pray for you guys as well. We can just close our eyes and lift up our hands to the Lord. I think sometimes we get a little bit stuck in our routines and, the band is going to sing for us now. And so we lose the ability to give our hearts to God. And I want you just as a little child just to say to God at the beginning of this year, and there's someone specific, you still feel like that little girl that went to school the first day. And your mom just dropped you off at the school. And she didn't go with you to the class. And she couldn't go with you to the hall. And all the other parents were there. And you were left to figure things out all by yourself. And you still feel like that. You still feel that when the important moments of transition is going to come, you are going to have to figure things out all for yourself again. So if I could ask you, we just drop our hands now. If that is you, you feel like you're very resilient, you're very qualified, you're very resourceful, you're very professional. But deep down in your heart, you feel like this little girl. And every new year, you weep your heart out. You can't explain it. It's not always as if things have fallen apart. But you just weep your heart out. You dread this year. And you can't put your finger on it. But I believe the Lord is wanting to... I just see him walking into this hall. And he walks onto the stage. And he stops the headmaster. Everything stops. And... he walks through all the chairs and he walks up to you and he picks you up and he walks out of that hall and he says, they can wait. I want to talk to you. I want you to know how proud I am of you. I want you to know how excited I am about the woman you're going to become. How excited I am about the wife you're going to be. How excited I am about the mom you're going to be to your kids. And I want you to know that I will never, ever, ever leave you alone. Never. And if you can relate to that word, maybe not on the specifics. Now, first of all, if you can relate to that word on the specific detail, I just want you to raise your hand. So I want to pray for you. Just raise it high. As if you, that girl and Jesus walks up to you and is looking through the crowd. And it's looking, where's that heart? Nobody else heard the cry. Nobody else heard, I'm drowning. I don't want to be here. Nobody else heard that. Everybody is excited. Your little heart screaming. And he's looking through the crowd. Where is that cry? And he walks straight up to you. But you've got to just put out your hands to him. I want you just to do that. Just hands to him. Just put out your hands to him. Father, I pray through your spirit. He would now touch every hand raised, every heart raised to you. I pray that right now they would experience your embrace. Abba. Abba, Daddy. They would experience your embrace, your comfort. I believe Jesus is going to open your spiritual senses to... It's going to sound weird. Don't get stressed out about it. But in a way, smell him. The masculinity of him. And it's going to be with you. It's like you're going to sense him before you see him. You're never going to forget that again. Like an awareness of his presence all over you. It's like coming right now. Just all over you. It's like coming all over you. It's Jesus. It's him. It's him. It's him. God, I pray your peace. Jehovah Shalom. And I just see this It's like towards you, there's this gentle, soft smile God has. But I sense inside of him, it's almost like an anger. He's ready to just, he's like looking around at places, don't you dare stop me. None of you get in my way. Not now. None of you get in my way. So I'm coming for my child. Don't you dare get in my way. And the Lord is going to reveal to you over these next few weeks his holy obsession with you. His righteous anger towards the things that have kept you from him. And your desire to be protected and for somebody to fight for you will be met in him. And he's saying to you that as he walked up that hill, Calvary, every step was a battle for you. Every step was a battle towards your heart. It led to him breathing out his last and saying, it is finished. So he wants you to know that your shame, that feeling that you had, he took it upon himself on the cross. It is finished. The residue disappears right now. You have been crucified with him. He absorbed it. He took it upon himself. It is what broke his heart. It is what led to him dying on that cross. So your shame, your feeling of rejection. And right now it's like poison that is drawing out of your heart. And it's making your heart light. I believe the Lord is saying that as you've sowed in tears, he will reap in joy. The Lord is going to give you a joy. It's a joy that's going to be your strength, and a joy that's going to be contagious, and a joy that's going to lift people up, and a joy, man, it's a smile. The Lord is, I just see you like standing in front of the mirror, and you're smiling, and you're like walking past the mirror, like, whoa, stopping again, and you're smiling again. You can't believe how easy that feels. There's nothing plastic about it. I believe the Lord is saying he's anointing your smile. He's anointing it. That means that it has a purpose. Okay? It means it has a purpose. It has been designed by God. The way your teeth look, the way your mouth opens up when you smile, to break yokes of heaviness. To the joy that the Lord is imparting through you. And if you, in a generic sense, have a sense of there's still something holding me back from the past, I would like you to raise your hands as well. And I'm just going to pray a blanket prayer for all of us. If you feel the Lord has spoken to you about breaking from barrenness, breaking from the prison of shame, prison of fear, and allowing him. I thank God, you know, so many challenges in the city, so many things we need to do. Is it really as straightforward as love? And I believe the Lord's saying yes. But unlike anything we've ever tasted, unlike anything we've ever known. And when we say spare not, he's going to grace us with the ability to not hold back in our love. To not hold back. It's not going to be forced. It's not going to be, something that has to be manufactured or just something we wear on a Sunday face. I believe the Lord is coming to bless us with a divine impartation. A divine impartation to love. That enlarging of our heart took place when we surrendered to Christ. But I believe we need to give him freedom. Because there's a few of us here and you feel like your little house is going to break. It's like the big bad wolf is going to blow it over. And you're going to stand there all naked. But God is wanting to fortify your walls, strengthen you to such an extent the wolf can come and blow it, do his thing. You're going to go on and play 30 seconds with him. Then you're going to have a sock with whatever wind is blowing outside. But that enlarging of our hearts took place when, as Paul said, the love of God has been poured abroad into our hearts. It's been poured in there. We now just need to give him the freedom to come and have his way. So Father, we acknowledge first and all that we in our natural selves don't have the kind of love that we need, God, to be the family you want us to be. We acknowledge that. We see that. We recognize that. But we thank you that you have not left us to our natural strengths only. You haven't left us, God, to be products of our family upbringing. You haven't left us to be products of the way that we were raised culturally with all its good and bad. You didn't leave us, God, to be angry products of those broken up relationships. You didn't leave us to be messed up products of the abuse and the neglect, the misuse. You didn't even leave us, God, to be products of the great upbringing that we had. But you came, God, to elevate us, to lift us up, to be able to be your bride, attractive and glorious in her beauty. And right now there's somebody you're like, oh, that's not me. And Jesus is saying, yes, that is you. You're part of my bride. I love you, and I'm busy beautifying you. I'm making you gloriously, irresistibly attractive to the world. People will be drawn to you. Don't be surprised. They'll be drawn to you. They will fall in love with just hanging around. They just want to hang around you. And I believe the Lord is wanting to bless us as a congregation. Well, I just see this picture of this honeycomb and the bees is coming to it. And the Lord is going to bless us with a sweetness. It is going to be so countercultural in the city where you have to be so focused, and there's nothing wrong with that. But to the extent that we sometimes just forget about people around us, forget about the precious moments, the Lord is saying that year will be a safe place. Not year geographically so much as year in our midst. And it starts with you feeling safe. So Father, I pray for everyone in the city, Lord, not feeling safe right now. And I come against the lie that there are areas in parts, Lord, of the city where your presence cannot get to. And we break that lie in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that every street, every alley, every byway of this city, Lord God, wherever your people are, wherever your people go, Lord God, you have promised you will never, 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 ever leave us nor forsake us. I thank you, Lord, that you have apportioned to Shofar Johannesburg, Lord, a very special assignment of your angels. And thank you that we can ask you now, Father, that all those angels that you have held in reserve because we haven't asked for them, that you will now release them over us, God, to protect, to lead us, to guide us, Lord, to bring us in connection with the right people at the right time to do for us, Father God, what we need to do. We thank you that you say that they are ministering servants of the saints. And so we welcome them, Lord God, as ministering servants, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you for your divine protection over every house represented here, every apartment, Lord, every flat, every duplex, wherever your people are staying, where they're dwelling. We thank you for the bodyguards of heaven in Jesus' name. We come against the fear of being raped and molested and hijacked in this year. And we thank you, Lord God, that even though a thousand may rise against us, Lord God, that you will protect us and you will cover us. The enemy will come in against us one way and will flee from us in seven different ways. We thank you we can close the door, Lord God, on God, anything, bitterness or unforgiveness, Lord, between brothers, Lord, that we can make a quality decision here tonight, Lord, to deal with those things, to not spare, to not hold back at all until we have been reconciled, Lord God, heart to heart, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we can say that we count on you to protect us, God, not us ourselves. We will do everything in the natural we need to do, God, but we thank you that we can count on you. You are our portion. You are our reward in Jesus' name, Father. So thank you for the freedom that you are bringing in, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we can see just dancing kids all around us, Lord God. Dancing kids. I just have this picture of the same child just being part of a beautiful, opvoeding, performance, where she's like the star, just dancing all across the stage, and she's got this spontaneous, contagious laugh on her face, and everything is going smoothly during the performance, exactly as the teacher has said, and then suddenly she like breaks from the routine and does her own thing. It's even more beautiful than what was naturally prescribed, naturally taught. There's another element of being led by the Spirit. And I believe there's somebody and you've received healing, but it's sort of been through natural ways. A lot of counseling and good stuff. Nothing wrong with it. Good stuff. But the Lord is saying, He is now coming for you. And the dance that He is teaching you is going to be awesome. The dance that He is teaching you is going to be truly inspirational. It's going to stir things in the hearts of people that no one even knew existed. And I just see you like going into the crowd and you're like taking older ummies and like ummies with like pipes that they're smoking and like felt hats on, all the stuff. You're taking them and like they would never be seen dead doing it. And they're like dancing with you. And as you're dancing with them, there's a freedom that's coming that sets generations free. It's this. They're dancing with you. And they're dancing. The sweat is like going all over the place. And there's just like a freedom that comes. And those ummies, even there's a physical restoration, I believe, the Lord is going to bring through the impartation of joy or physical healing that is going to take place. And so, Father, we thank you for the anointing of physical healing that we can accept and receive at the beginning of this year. We thank you for many, many, many physical bodies, Lord God, that will be healed in this year. In Jesus' name, Lord God, many miracles that you will do in our midst. So gently, Lord, and unobtrusively, that no glory will come to any man. But it will be, Lord God, to the glorification of your name. And so, Father, we praise you, worship you. We're going to sing a song. We will sing because of his goodness. And I want us just to just sing from your heart. Okay, just give to the Lord your heart and just rejoice before him like a little child that has no inhibitions. However the Lord will lead you, however the Lord has wired you. And we sing because he's good. But I also believe that some of us, you need to sing, even though the barrenness might still want to be there, the Lord is going to, as you sing, as you rejoice in, the Lord is going to bring freedom into your life. And so, as we prepare our hearts, and as we sing, the ushers are going to come, and the band, you guys can just start ministering to us along. And I want you just to listen to the words of the songs. I believe the band can sing this prophetically over us. Okay, guys? The one with singing it. As we just listen and allow the song just to stir our hearts, I want us to partake of the communion. And as we take communion, I want you to know that Jesus is saying to you that he has made provision. Okay? I know many of us might feel very challenged. The Lord has said he's made provision for you. Okay? He's made the way. He doesn't just ask you to do things. He also enables you to do it. So just listen. Open up your heart and to allow the words of the song to encourage you and to strengthen you. When the bread and the wine gets to you, I want you to be bold. When you take the bread, say, thank you, Jesus. Eat it with a smile. Take your little glass. Take one big gulp. Drink it. Say, thank you, Jesus, what you've done for me. Don't wait for anybody else to pray for you. It's yours. Free access into the presence of God. You rejoice and you say thank you to him the way that you want to. And after you've done that, join with the band. You sing and you just rejoice with the Lord. And allow the Spirit to lead you. Give expression to your thankfulness the way that you want. And if you feel that you've got a very specific spirit of heaviness upon you, I want you to come just to the front. Maybe there's something in the back of your mind. It's holding you back. And you feel you just want to make a clean cut. You want to break free from that. Come. We will anoint you and we will pray with you. Trust the Lord to really just set you free in Jesus' name.